Hi CPC, from my living room to yours, good morning. We're glad you're joining us this morning. We're continuing the series called Making a Move. It's about equipping, about how we serve in the church. And certainly this applies when we're gathered together as in one space as the church, but it also applies when we're scattered. We're scattered across homes here on the peninsula during this unique season in our country and in our world. This still applies because at the foundation of serving is our connectedness with one another. We're connected to one another. I mean, think about this. Think about the current situation that we're in right now. I mean, think about the challenges that you have when you are facing, you know, living with the people that you're living with every hour of the day. You're probably thinking, I love my roommate, or I love my spouse, or I love my kids, but this is getting a little exhausting. Or maybe this season stirs something in you where you're longing for more connectedness. Maybe you're by yourself, and this season that we're in right now is stirring this longing for something more, to be with other people. Maybe you miss your friends and miss spending time with them. We know about this connectedness. We know about it right now in our season that we're in, and that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about this morning. Today, what I want to do is I want to go to Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to give you three actions around serving, three actions of ways that we can serve one another. And what I'm going to ask you to do at the end is I'm going to ask you to choose one of these actions, one of these practices to put into practice this week. You can put it into practice right where you are living. You could do it remotely through video or through a phone call with someone else. You can either put this practice aside for when we do gather back together in one space. But my hope and belief is that if we choose something this week, if you choose one of these practices, it could actually build a deeper sense of connectedness between you and other people. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Paul is going through a list of things that he wants to tell the ancient church in Rome. But kind of sitting over this list of things that he's going to talk about is this one big idea. It's this one kind of global ethic that sits over it all, and it's the ethic of love. Listen to what he says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. He says, love must be sincere. He says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. He says, love must be sincere. That word sincere could also be translated hypocrisy, like it should be without hypocrisy. In other words, it shouldn't be pretend. It shouldn't be an idea that you kind of fake. To be a hypocrite, one ancient commentator said, actually is the idea of separating yourself from other people in a gradual way. I mean, think about that. Think about when you've faked emotions or you've faked a genuine concern for someone else. It actually has drawn you farther away from them. What Paul says to the ancient church, what he would say to us today, the thing that sits over all of us is this idea of love from the very center of who we are. In fact, Eugene Peterson's translation paraphrase of this verse in The Message says that very thing. He says, love from the very center of who you are. This is the ethic that guides what we say and do. So in the next couple sections, I'm going to pull out three actions that kind of show us how to do this type of love, how to love from the very center of who we are, both when the church gathers together one day, we pray soon in the future, but also as we're scattered in our various homes, of ways you can still serve one another right here and now. There are a lot of statements that I'm going to read. You can pick out other actions. I'm just going to choose three for the sake of clarity this morning in the sections we're going to go across. So the first section is verses 10 through 13. Paul talks about pursuing hospitality. That's the first action, pursuing hospitality. Listen to what he says here in the scripture. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction, and be faithful in prayer. And share with the Lord's people who are in need. And he says, he ends that this section with practice hospitality. That word practice in the original language actually is a word that means to pursue. And I love that idea. It's not simply that you're available or that you're passive to be hospitable, but actually you seek out ways to practice hospitality. The other interesting idea in this is to think about Paul's day. In Paul's day, hospitality was not simply having someone over for a meal. To be hospitable in Paul's day was to identify with another person. It means that you are for them. It means that you're standing with them. In fact, in his day, for example, when people were put in prison for their faith, Paul and the other New Testament teachers in that day would encourage some of the church to go and visit them. But guess what? When they visited them in prison, they were identifying with that person. They were saying, I stand with this person that the government has imprisoned. I stand with them and support them. To be hospitable was not simply just to be nice and have a meal over, although that's good, but it was actually meant to say, I am for you. Paul, in essence, is saying, pursue ways to be for people. He uses earlier in the passage this word honor. The word honor means to go before someone as a guide. I think about it this way, that you and I are called to lead the way in going out of our way to lift up, to celebrate, to be for someone else. You and I are called to lead the way by going out of our way to be for someone else, to act for them, to find ways to leverage your energy and your life to better someone else. When my wife Hillary and I got married a number of years ago now, 12 years coming up now, one of the pieces of advice that we received that we absolutely love and still think about today is someone told us to outserve each other. Work in our marriage to outserve one another. Can you imagine what would happen in your space, wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this right now? What if you found ways to outserve the people that you're living among or the people that you're interacting with in this unique season in our world? How could you outserve them? Even from a distance, what are ways that you could pursue hospitality, that you could act in ways that are for someone else? That's the first thing Paul talks about. Pursue hospitality. The second action I want to draw your attention to is in the next set of verses, verses 14 through 16. I would kind of put it this way. He talks about discovering beauty in one another. Listen to this. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And do not be conceited. This idea of living in harmony was not that everything should go perfectly well. It doesn't mean that you always get along. The idea meant that in Paul's day that you had the same mind toward one another. Not that you agreed on everything, but that you thought of each other in the same way. That you had this idea that you saw another person as a human being, as someone valuable. In fact, again, Eugene Peterson, The Message, paraphrases this verse, discover beauty in everyone. Think about that. What would it be like if you spent your energy with other people discovering the beauty of their story? What if you were curious about another person? What if you asked questions about another person's story? Think back to the last time that you had a coffee with someone or a meal with someone or a conversation with someone where they weren't eager to put their own agenda or their own advice or tell their own story, but they asked about yours. Imagine how that felt. Remember how that felt. What if you and I did that type of thing? What if we were curious enough that we spent more energy asking questions and being curious about the stories of one another than we were about our own story, about putting our own piece of advice into the situation? Years ago, my wife and I took training in an international coaching curriculum. And one of the key elements and foundations about coaching is the learning the skill to ask questions. And we spent days learning the skill. You wouldn't think it would take that long to learn to ask questions, but you can do it you can ask a few questions, but before long, you start just cycling back into giving advice. And that's not the idea there. It's an incredible skill to learn, to simply learn to be interested, to see that someone else's story is beautiful. Think about the ways and the people in your life who have come along and seen beauty in your story and given attention to you and how that felt in your life. Are you genuinely interested in other people? Are you genuinely interested and do you find ways to hear and see the beauty in their story? I think that's the only way that we could do those first couple things that Paul talked about in verses 14 to 15. I mean, he talked about blessing people who persecute you. He talked about rejoicing with people as they celebrate something good in their life. He talked about mourning with people as they struggle and face difficulty. All of those things that he talked about, here's the interesting thing about that. All of those actions, they're all counterintuitive. I mean, think about it. Think about the last person that persecuted you. Did you bless them? Did you ask for God's favor upon them? No, you were probably looking for ways to retaliate. Or think about the last person that you came across who was celebrating something good in their life. How did you feel? Probably your default setting was some sort of jealousy or maybe some disconnection from them. Or think about the last person that you saw was struggling. Maybe you tried to offer them advice or try to change the dynamic. To rejoice, to mourn with people, even to bless someone who persecutes you, the only way you and I are going to do that is if we've learned to see that there's something beautiful in their story. There's something beautiful in the very situation that they're in. And that we're willing to go there with them. That's only going to happen if you have a heart to discover the beauty in the story of one another. So, pursue hospitality. Discover beauty. And the third thing, the third practice for us I want to pull out today is find ways to choose grace. Choose grace. Listen to this last section from Paul. Verses 17 through 21. He says, "Do not repay anyone for evil. Evil for evil. But be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, and I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil," Paul summarizes, "but overcome evil with good." Paul talks about the reality that hostility will come. It's not every relationship that we're in is going great. Not everything always works out as it should. There's going to be times where in your dynamic, in your serving, in your relationship with one another, hostility is going to come. And he says, in that moment that you have a choice, you have a choice of how you're going to respond. He says you can be overcome by evil. And here's how evil overcomes us. Evil overcomes when the pressure or the pain of the moment forces us to act in ways that are outside of God's design. Evil overcomes us when the pressure or the pain of the moment forces us or leads us to act in ways that are outside of God's design. But on the contrary, we can overcome evil when we receive hostility but respond in choosing good. That we receive one thing but respond in a different way. He says we could actually overcome evil. We can actually change the trajectory of the situation. And when you do that, when you choose that way, what you are doing is you are choosing grace. I think that's what he means when he says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with people. And you may think like, hold on, if I'm receiving hostility from someone else, how does this depend on me? Well, here's what depends on you in that moment. You actually have a responsibility in that moment. Even when you are the recipient of hostility, what depends on you, your responsibility in the moment of hostility, your responsibility is this. It's your response to the situation. You always own your response. You can't control what someone else has said to you. You can't control what someone else has done to you, but you can regulate your reactivity to them and to the situation. In fact, that in essence is what maturity is all about. Maturity is learning to own our own emotional well-being. It's learning to manage our reactivity in situations where hostility comes. That is the choice. That is the responsibility that all of us have, no matter what happens in our relationships with one another. That we can choose to respond with something different than we receive from others. And when you do that, you are setting the stage. You are choosing grace. I mean, this can be difficult in a season like this of social isolation. I mean, part of being in distance with one another means it makes it a little bit easier for maybe us to dislike people. It makes it a little bit easier for us to hold resentment because we're not going to see them face to face, at least for a little while. But you and I are faced with the choice every single day of what we're going to put our energy behind, what seeds we're going to sow for the future that lays out. It could be something that's marked by evil. It could be something that's marked by good. You get to choose whether or not you want to be a part of grace. I mean, think, for example, your experience for many of us right now working from home. Maybe colleagues that you enjoyed working face-to-face with in the office, now you're trying to manage the interaction online. Maybe you're getting frustrated because someone didn't show up for the conference call that they should have shown up for. Maybe their work production is not as much as it used to be and you're left carrying some of the load. There are moments in this season right now where you and I are faced with choices in small things and in little and in larger things where we can choose grace or not. That is the challenge that Paul puts out for us, to find ways to choose grace in the relationships that we're in, even now. So pursue hospitality. Find ways in the midst of this to choose grace. Find ways to discover beauty in people. But why does all this matter? Why does any of this matter? Why does Paul take the time to talk about this? Why doesn't he talk about something else? Why is all of this important? Why is it important for us even to talk about in this season right now as everything is going on in our world? I think here's why this matters. Why this matters is because we're still connected to one another, that we're designed for connection, and you have the opportunity to bring a sense of God's grace right where you are. You may have to get creative, but this is what you can do. And here's the beautiful thing for you. Here's a beautiful thing for me. Here's a beautiful thing for our world. The good news for our world is this is what God has done for us in the person of Jesus. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, another of Paul's letters, he says it this way. He says, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions or sins. For it is by grace that you have been saved. I mean, here's the good news for you of what God has done for you in Jesus is that God is for you. That he has worked in ways to pursue you, to be for you. He has seen the beauty and continues to see the beauty in you. And his grace defeated the hostility that was in you to unite him and you together. And he did all of that, watch this, he did all of that so that you and I could do that very thing in our world and in the spaces in which we inhabit, even where we are now. Three practices that Paul gives us in Romans 12. Three things for us that we can serve when the church gathers, that we can serve now as we're scattered. Three things for us. And I want you to do this, as I said earlier. I want you to pick one of these. I want you to pick one of these and put attention to it. Put energy to it this week. Find ways to practice this right where you are. It could be in the very space in which you're living, in which you're housed right now. It could be maybe you send an email or put a phone call through or get on a video call with someone. I want you to choose one of these practices today that you could practice this week. I want you to think through how could you pursue hospitality? Maybe it's for you finding ways simply to be for one another, finding ways to identify with someone else. Maybe for you, the question is, what can you do to discover the beauty in other people? Maybe you've lost sight of that. Maybe you've lost sight of the beauty of other people's stories. Maybe people that you're near, maybe people that you're far with right now physically. What could you do to discover the beauty of someone else's story this week? Or maybe for you, it's a relationship you think about that you have an opportunity to choose grace. So what I want you to do at some point during this week, I want you to choose one of these, and I want you to find a space to think through this. Maybe it's you alone journaling. Maybe it's a conversation with your family. Maybe it's a conversation with your spouse or your roommate. Talk through this, and then find ways to put this into practice this week. I think if we do this, if you do this, if I do this, it could build a greater sense of our connectedness with one another, even in a season like we're in right now. What I want to do in closing is I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. Pray for you as you pursue these things, as you pursue hospitality, as you discover beauty in other people. As you think through your relationships and as you make the courageous choice to choose grace, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for God's formation in you and in our relationships and us, in us as a community of faith. Let's pray. God, we're grateful that we're still united together with you, that we're joined together through the person of Jesus. Thank you for the incredible gift of life through him, through a gift of life that not only gives us that eternal security, but also calls us to act in new ways here and now in this world. May we as a community of faith at CPC set the standard. May we lead the way in living in deeper ways of connectedness, even in this season. We trust you, we put our hope in you, and we are grateful for the grace that you're working in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.